Another vision I want to encourage you in about this church is, I believe it's God's dream for every believer, every follower of Him, to be out of debt. I believe that. Everybody. The Bible's quite clear on it. It says we're the head, not the tail. And that if you do the right thing, now there are certain structural needs. Remember that house that did not get wrecked by the hurricane? That one house that stood, you see it on the news? Why? It was built according to the codes of a Category 5 hurricane. So it's still there. Because they followed the code to build for that situation, which is obviously what we are not doing if our house isn't standing. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, right? So I want to encourage you, the Crown Financial Course is designed to get you out of debt. That's its whole purpose. Who would really enjoy a debt-free life? Who is enjoying a debt-free life? Praise God. Like I said, there's seven of us. So I want to encourage you to think about this. It is possible. I only want to remind you to glorify God that in 1996, I possessed absolutely nothing when I came back from missions. Nothing. I owned nothing. Not a house, not a car, nothing. I'm just trying to encourage you to try and think about how quickly God can redeem the time if you do the right thing. Now, granted, I've been sowing like a maniac from 1979, and it kind of caught up with me. Can anybody really hear what I'm saying? And so this is essential. And if you want a shortcut God's principles, then okay, trust me, the hurricane will tell you different. Anyway, Crown Financial meeting is here immediately after this meeting. Those of you that all signed up, please stay here immediately after the meeting. So we've been talking about new beginnings, and we need new beginnings in so many things. We need new beginnings in our health, in our lives, in our purpose. Just want to remind you that whatever you do for a living, it is only so you can fulfill your purpose. We need new beginnings in many of our relationships, our monies I've talked about, our marriages, with our children, with our parents. New beginnings are essential, and God wants to give it to you. This is why the Bible talks about that when you become a follower of Jesus Christ and you give yourself to Him, understanding repentance, coming to Him, knowing that you cannot do it in your own strength, that He is the only way, then if you believe, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be born again. You will get new life, eternal life. And this is something that we've all been promised. This is the new beginning that God gives us, the new creation, the new life, the new birth. And then the next week I talked about the new deal. If you weren't here last Sunday morning, it ain't very often I plug my messages, but I thought last Sunday's morning's message was almost like White Album Good, as somebody called it once. I really recommend you order it, the new message last Sunday for about the new deal. Basically talking about the fact that whatever you're trying to do to please God, you are wasting your time, you're being deceived, that there's nothing you can add to His perfect sacrifice. He finished the job. He did it once for all. And the problem between whoever is and isn't serving God is often a conscience problem. Did everybody hear that? And one of the biggest battles in our lives is whether we are sin conscious or righteousness conscious. If you are sin conscious, it's because you haven't yet understood the blood of Jesus cleansing your conscience from dead works, and that you are forgiven for every sin you've ever done, past, present, and future. Very hard for Christians to grasp this, but it is so. As long as you keep a repentant attitude, because He reminded that to five of the churches in the book of Revelation, your sins are instantaneously forgiven. There is no prison, there is no parole, and there is no probation in the kingdom of God. You're either in life or you're in death. Simple as that. So as soon as you come back to God, the prodigal father is there with his arms wide open, saying, come on home, son. You may come to Him with a sin consciousness like his son did, and say, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Do you remember what his father said? Nothing. He said, kill the fatted calf. Give him the ring. Give him the cloak. Give him the shoes. He ignored his stupid confession. He's not listening to you telling, God's not listening to you telling him everything you've done wrong. He knows. He knew before you did it. So therefore, until you deal with this guilt and this shame, what's the difference? Guilt is when you do something wrong. Shame is when you are something wrong. And that's what we have to deal with. And I'm telling you, the redemption, the new deal is, it's Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. And then the only thing you have to do is believe in Jesus. Who is he that overcomes this world that he believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so that's what we have to get. We have to get to that place. You will battle with it every day of your life in your mind. The warfare, bringing every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ. So I want to encourage you, keep allowing the word. Serious scholars, again, this week, your homework, read the book of Hebrews. It should take you at least an hour. So please, turn the TV off for an hour this week, read the book of Hebrews, bless yourself, and then next week, read the book of Hebrews. And then Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and stuff. So I want to talk this week about a new song. This is a little more nebulous, but God wants to put a new song in our mouths. He wants to put a new song in our hearts. He wants to create, when we, you know, when we've all sung songs, right? Those of us who are children of the 50s, if there's any here, you know, I don't know, it was Elvis and a few other hot shots like that and a couple of other false kings, and as they called him. And so, I could say something, I won't. And then, of course, we moved into the British invasion, although I don't actually remember that invasion. Anyway, so, because they were all where I was. But you know, then we began listening to the Beatles and the Who and the Stones and the Kinks and the Hollies and all that stuff and all that rubbish. And then we moved into the 70s, and everybody, of course, not only was listening to new music, but wearing such nice clothes to go with it. Wonderful. Then we moved into the 80s, the decade of bad taste, and, you know, the decade of nose jobs. And, yeah, it was a bit lame, sorry. So, and then, you know, progress into the 90s. I go to Planet Fitness. Who here goes to Planet Fitness at the moment? Quite a bunch of us, praise God. There's one thing, Planet Fitness is an awesome place, but the music stinks. I hate the music of Planet Fitness. And it's all, mate. And, you know, I start twitching when I get in the parking lot and it's blasting outside and I can't get my own headphones on fast enough, you know, try and block it out and listen to Family Feud. And so, music affects our lives more than anything else. You can't even get in an elevator without it. You can't watch a movie without it. You can't watch any program, TV show. There's always music, 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 music. And God wants to put a new song in our hearts. Not something from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, or this decade. He wants to change what we sing. He wants to make it in our heart. Most of us don't have songs in our heart. I'll be honest with you. Have you noticed that today, as we gently did the worship, just acoustic, a lot of us struggle to enter in because we're used to the band sound bringing us to a place. We had that experience last night. But when you have a new song in your heart, you don't need the band. Are we okay? Right, let me read you a scripture. And the Bible talks about new song everywhere, especially in heaven. There's a new song in heaven that when all the saints sing, there is nobody worthy to open the scroll of the book. Nobody. Not Abraham, David, not Paul, not Peter. Nobody's good enough. And then they all began to sing the praises of God when the Lamb, he opened the book, and the Lamb was worthy. And it said, and they put a new song in their hearts, and they begin. So I want to tell you, saints, in heaven, we are going to be doing a lot of singing, hallelujah, and it's going to be a new song. And I want you to hear this. There's many references in the Bible to a new song, but I want to read this one. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock. And he established my steps. And he put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts which are towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. This morning we're going to do something a little different. I want to interview a guy, a man, who I can truly say that God put a new song in his heart, and it says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. And so this morning, I want to introduce to some of you, and of course, welcome back to a lot of us, Joe Colucci. Come on, Joe, come on board. Grab yourself a chair, mate. Grab the mic. This is Joe Colucci. He's been part of our church for 2 or 3 years. He left us, he's been out of the country 14 of the last 17 months. He left a boy, came back a man. Get a bit closer in case I need to slap you or something. And this is Joe. And so,
hold on one sec.
Tech problems? I know. That's why we're having a techno weekend next week with the kids. Teach them how to live without it. You can say hello.
Hello. Good morning. It's great to be back here. I'm really enjoying just being back home. I wasn't sure how I was going to come back. Like, it's one of those things, man, I've been gone for so long. What's it going to be like? And I've just been really blessed that people have been asking me, oh, how did you settle back in? I'm like, I kind of didn't feel like I was gone that long, which is amazing, being gone for 11 months straight. It's like,
you didn't suffer from PMS?
No.
That's post-missionary syndrome. I don't know what you thought it was. I want to tell you about this guy. He came back last Sunday morning, or the Sunday morning before that, wasn't it? He came back Sunday morning, went straight to his father's church and preached. And the next day he went to work. That was pretty impressive, but don't tell anybody I said that.
No.
Okay, listen, I want to ask Joe a few questions. A lot of you don't know him. His parents are wonderful believers. His mother's a Jewish believer. His father's Italian, so they don't need to talk to each other. They can just use their hands. And it's wonderful, no language barriers. And so, because you're getting Italian and Englishman, I have no idea what they're talking about. So, but Joe, tell me something. You know, you've been out of the country about 14 of the last 17 months. That is one trip, one service to God. But I wonder, what was the start? What kind of seeded this? Tell me a bit about it. How did it start? What was the thing?
Well, I guess I felt like I'd really reached a place where I was happy. I mean, I started coming to this church. I was blessed by all the people here, and got my own apartment, awesome apartment. I was having like great Christian hangouts at my apartment, and just like really enjoying, I thought, everything. And I had 2 cars, one good car and one just ridiculous car. I just got to the point where I'm like, okay, this can't be it, because this is like really miserable. And I'm like, I want something more, but I didn't know what. You could have told me 2 years ago that, you know, Africa was a country at the bottom of the globe, and I would have been like, oh, cool. It's actually a continent, by the way. but for all those that don't know. I guess I just hit a point, and I had one day where it was just total confirmation. I'd been thinking, I want to travel, I want to go somewhere. People were like, where would you go? I was like, I don't know, Africa? I didn't know anything about Africa, really, honestly. And I remember in one day, I got a flyer on how to sell stuff on eBay, which I'd been thinking, I have too much stuff. How would I go? I felt like I was being held back by my stuff. That same day, I got another flyer in the mail. It said, come into the post office this Wednesday and get your passport. No appointment necessary, just show up. I'm like, that's great for me because I'm a terrible planner. Like, if I plan an appointment, I won't make it. And then that same day, I knew there was going to be some missionary guy at the church He's actually a representative from Overland Missions. And I was like, oh, you know, that sounds cool. So I called my parents, like, hey, you know, there's going to be some missionary guy. I know you guys like missionaries, you know, because that's like parents and missionaries, the class I put them in. And then I was like really shocked when it was like a guy barely older than me, and he was talking about going to like 70 countries and like all this amazing ministry that's going on around the world. And I was just like, that's totally awesome. They were actually talking about a missionary training school that they were doing for 3 months in Africa, in Zambia. And I didn't want anybody to know that I was even thinking about it, so I kind of snuck up front, like made sure nobody saw me grab the brochure. I stuck it in my back pocket. And like 5 minutes later, Pastor Vaughn comes up to me and hands me the same brochure and said, I think this could be good for you. And I'm like, yeah, I already got it. Right after he came up to me, my mom came up to me, so when do you leave? Now, my mom's never like even left the country, so that was pretty amazing.
Can you imagine a Jewish mother saying to her boy, oy vey, I will let you go already. Yeah, that's so a tough one, mate. It must have been God.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. Let me interject. Overland Missions we're talking about here. Just want to tell you a little bit about Overland Missions. Overland Missions is one of the most renowned, fastest growing ministries in our country, started by Philip Smethurst and his wonderful wife, Sharon. She was raised by missionaries, her parents. They've all been around the world. They met, and they've developed an awesome ministry. Who was at the conference last year when they were here last October? Wasn't that a powerful time? Philip is coming back here the first weekend in December, and you need to avail yourself to it. It's not going to be just about missions. It's going to be about extreme Christianity. And before we go any further, let me just make sure I redirect everybody's minds here onto what we're talking about now. We're not talking about going to Africa. We're not talking about missions. We're talking about a new song in our heart. We're talking about fulfilling a dream. We're talking about God putting something in you and how you can work it out of you. It doesn't mean, oh, you've all got to go to Africa. It doesn't even say you've got to leave the country or the county. But what we are talking about is whatever your heart has to do. This guy can give us a little insight on how he did it. You get my drift? So, Joe, all right, let's just jump a little bit here. So we got an idea about how it all started. And let's face it, I know you well enough to know your life was okay. You know, you were always pretty happy. You had good parents and gotten well with your family. And there was still that hungry. But now just jump a little bit to the how, because there must have been a few dollars involved.
Yeah, that was the kind of like the first mental put off was the fact that the course was starting 3 months after I got the brochure. I didn't have my passport. I had all this stuff. And I was like,
how much was the course, do you remember?
The course was $5,000 plus airfare, which is another couple thousand dollars, plus spending money. So figure around $8,000 or $9,000 is what
$8,000 or $9,000. Say it a little slower.
About $9,000
right.
In 3 months. So that was the initial, like, okay, this is gonna be, you know, a little bit of a feat. So luckily I just sold my extra car. I got myself out of debt. And put a little bit of money in the bank.
Did you say out of debt?
Out of debt, yeah.
Oh.
I was in debt over a car.
Go ahead.
What a ridiculous thing to be in debt over. Sorry. seriously, like, there's some great cheap junker cars out there. You know, you don't have to drive like some nice BMW. Anyway, it's besides the point.
Do you know Crown Financial teaches the two dumbest things you can do in life is pay rent and buy a new car. Go ahead.
I say that after I just went out and got in debt over a motorcycle, but
it wasn't new.
That's true. It wasn't
and it's
new.
The color of that jersey.
Yeah. That's actually why I got this jersey, so people could see me riding my motorcycle.
Come on, how did you get the money?
So
but
in 3 months, I worked quite a bit. I sold anything that I could spare. Got rid of all my junk. I actually scrapped like all this metal I had. I had like ridiculous amounts of stuff. I think I got like over $400 together just in scrap metal that I had lying around, which is quite a feat. Josh loved me for getting rid of the stuff, hated me for having it all in his basement. Was amazingly blessed by people around me. I was shocked sometimes. I remember saying one day, somebody's asked me, like, well, how much more money do you need? I'm like, I need about $1,000. One person came up to me and gave me $500, I think, that day, and I got a check for $500 in the mail that same day. And that was it. I was like, man, I should have said like $2,000. And the crazy thing was, it wasn't even people that like heard me say how much money I needed. So it was just like one of those
I just want to interject. I remember when my daughter Alice wanted to go to India when she was 13. And the airfare was $1,450. And she raised $1,451. You know, that must have been for gum. And it's true. You know, when you got a vision and you got something, I mean, God knows. I want to encourage you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was just blessed like so many times where there's little things like that where I remember, I tell a quick story here. I wanted a miniature Maglite holster, ridiculous thing to want. Should I tell that story?
Yeah, tell the story, man.
So I went around trying to buy a holster for my miniature Maglite. Now, none of the stores would sell me.
Do the ladies know what a miniature Maglite?
Okay, miniature Maglite, one of those little aluminum flashlights, like the typical ones. So none of the stores would sell me just the holster. It always comes in a set. And I'm like, I don't want to buy another set. I already have the flashlight. I just want the holster. Like, please. No, couldn't get it. So I went to like all these stores, couldn't find it. Went to work that day. We had just built a bathroom. Now, we had framed the floor and everything, so there was nothing there. I cleaned the whole bathroom for the weekend so that the customer could use it. My dad comes up to me the next day and says, you must have dropped this in the bathroom after you cleaned it. And he hands me a miniature Maglite holster. Now, I had never owned a miniature Maglite holster, but I wanted one. So I'm like, no, I didn't drop it. But I was like the last one in the bathroom, and I had cleaned it, and I would have picked up a miniature Maglite holster if I saw one. I'm like, so I'm still in shock. I'm walking up the driveway with it, and my sister's friend pulls up. And I'm like, let me go say goodbye to her. And I look in her car. There is nothing in her car except a miniature Maglite holster. Like, her car is immaculate, except for on the back seat is a miniature Maglite holster. I go, why do you have a miniature Maglite holster in your back seat? She's like, I just cleaned my car yesterday, and I cannot figure out how that got there. And I'm like, okay.
Did everybody hear that?
So she's like, you can have it. I'm like, sweet. So I got two.
Let me just say this again. You see, on one side, he needed $9,000. And on the other side, he needed a miniature Maglite holder. The scripture says, oh, that man should praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works towards the children of men. So therefore, whether it's wonderful works or just his goodness, that's what that new song is in your heart. That was good preaching, Joe, by the way. Both of them.
Oh.
Yeah, we're a good team. Carry on.
So, yeah, I was just blessed by so many little things like that. Just timely events.
And roughly, what did they teach you down there at that AMT course?
There was a 3-month course, which you learned. They did some Bible study things, some learning about dangerous places, third world diseases, driving skills, medical training, all sorts of stuff. Radio communication, GPS navigation. Just basically
diesel mechanics, welding, all kinds of stuff. Great course. Teaching was great. Teaching was excellent.
Teaching was amazing. The pastors that came and stuff were really cool.
Hey, listen, before we go any further, I want to recognize that Bob Iannuso went as well. Tell everybody what Bob's doing at the moment, because you understand better.
When over there we got trained to be wilderness first responders, which is halfway to being wilderness EMTs, which is even better than EMT training. It was a 2-week course that we condensed into 10 days, and they give a discount for any of us who were missionaries over there to go and take the remaining 2 weeks to be certified wilderness EMTs. This is in New Hampshire with Solo, who's like the national standard for wilderness medicine. So Bob's finishing up his training to be a wilderness EMT as we speak.
And he's there now. Bob and Joe, they've been friends since they used to fight as teenagers. And, you know, they've been in the band together and they went down there together. But not only that, Bob was newly married, and his wife agreed how important it was for him to do this. So she gave him permission to go on this course, and she joined him for a month down. I just want to encourage you, that's quite a sacrifice for a newlywed to say, hon, I realize you're, the call upon your life is that important, and released him to go. And I want to tell you sometimes, you know, we need to realize this. If we liken believers to being in the army, sometimes we realize that, you know, you have to go away to boot camp. You have to go away to war. And just Esther, why don't you stand up a minute? Just so this is Bob's wife, Esther. Is Renee here or is Renee down? Say, Renee, stand up as well. These two both went down for a month. Esther was to go down and join her husband for a month. And they did wonderful. And the reason why I'm going to say this is when Esther came, when they both came back, Renee came and talked to us in the office. And she was really greatly moved by this experience. And she said, you know, what can I do? What can I serve? And I want to say this. When you start getting that experience in God, here she was a month in Africa, just pouring herself out, both of them. Esther's going on now to nurses training because she believes that's the best course she can take to be effective in the missions in the future. As you just heard, her husband's out there finishing the EMT. You know, they're training. Now, I'm saying this, relate this to whatever you need to do to be equipped to fulfill your dream. Whatever you need to do, get it done. Go for it. Work for it. Fight for it. Make it happen by faith in Jesus Christ. You hear what I'm saying? Whatever, I'm not talking about going to Africa, remember. I'm talking about what your heart is, what song God has put in your heart. And I'm saying this because, so Renee said to me, well, you know, what's my next step? What can I do? I said, well, I've got a need. We've got a need. She, what? I need somebody to organize cleaning the church. And she's been doing it ever since and been doing an excellent job. Now, you see what I'm saying? That's a big difference from going to Africa and cleaning the church, isn't it? The Bible says that if you are not faithful to what is another man's, who will give you your own? That's Luke 16, 12. So the point is, that's all part of fulfilling your dream, is helping somebody else fulfill their dream, and you get caught up in the vortex of the how-tos. Does that make sense? It makes sense to me, but so I want to encourage you that, because it was Joe went again, but these girls went and... go on, carry on. Tell them something about the trip now. Get on with the...
While I was doing the training, I heard about this trip that was going to be going out. We're supposed to be driving from England to Zambia, which is about 10,000 miles. I was like, I really want to do that. And everybody, of course, was like, that sounds totally awesome. I think 7 out of the 20 people in my course were like, yeah, we're going to do that.
How many of them did?
Me. That was it. So it was really funny, like, because everybody was all going home, and I was like, yeah, it's a little far-fetched. I mean, I'd love to, but
You know what they call that theologically?
What's that?
I'd rather be a wet walker than a dry boat rider. Hmm. Thanks for getting out the boat, Joe. Well. Carry on.
So
they'll get it next week.
I came back, and I wasn't sure. I was like, okay, maybe the desire will kind of go away when I get back home. And I'm like, I got back here, and I was like, I hated it. And I'm just like, I really want to go back. And I went to Pastor Vaughn, and he's like, it's a little crazy. I mean, he's like, how long till do you have him? Like, 11 weeks before I need to leave. And he's like, you know, you realize you've already raised money and you sold most of what you had. You know, that's, how are you going to come up with the money? I'm like, I don't know, but I'm going to. So I got back to my apartment, and it had been subletted for the 3 months I was gone. So I came back, and it was like basically just the way I left it, except way better. And I sat down on my couch, and I was just looking around. I'm like, this is awesome. This is my place. And I'm like, I can't get comfortable, though. I was like, it's too much money, and I can't afford it. And I remember I had a tent in the closet, and I went and pitched a tent behind the apartment and never slept in the apartment. It was an amazing way of saving money, actually. For anybody that's in debt, maybe consider moving into a tent.
He's single, by the way. He is single.
But
I did do it married.
I did have a pretty big tent. I mean, I think... could probably definitely hand a couple, maybe even a family. It's 2 rooms, so, you know.
Wow. Maybe you should auction it off.
Yeah, really.
Okay, get on with it.
So, it was, I've sold my other car, so I had no car coming back here. I sold pretty much everything else that I didn't sell. Got rid of whatever I couldn't sell. And amazingly got blessed with more support and was able to go.
Just to remind everybody, because some of you weren't part of our church, and last October we raised enough money here to buy one of those trucks. And it's actually got our name. We named the truck, I named the truck on our behalf when I was down there this year. We named the truck Vinny. I thought that was a really good name, didn't you? I mean, it's such a New York name in it. Hey, who's driving Vinny, you know? And Vinny the Vineyard truck. Anyway, all right. So not only, at least one or two Italians are laughing. Not only did Joe go on this trip, but also John Walker. John, you got to stand up. That's John Walker. Now, the reason I'm saying this is John was a little older than Joe. Joe was like 22 years old while he was doing this. He's now 23. John was 55 years old, for those of you that were here last night. Who was here last night? You remember what he told me last night? Yeah, his sister told him the truth afterwards. So John, at 55 years old, about 25 years ago, had a dream to go to Africa, and it didn't happen. And it came up again. And when we talked, there was no way that I could see in the natural he should go. This didn't seem right, that didn't seem right, and that didn't seem right. But when he looked me in the eyes, I could hear that song. I don't know if you understand that. I could hear that song and couldn't deny it. And I agreed with him. And he went and drove a truck from Holland to Zambia. That's quite a trip. And we're proud of you, John.
I'll be honest, I rolled my eyes when he kept coming up to me. Yeah, I'd really like to do that. I'm like, yeah, sure, okay. come join us, you know.
You of little faith, oh, us of little faith, right?
And then I was like totally shocked. When I was
so
like,
tell us about the trip.
Yeah, okay, so the trip. It was funny, I was looking at the map this morning, like, hey, where did we drive? And I was trying to remember, and I totally forgot we drove through Hungary. I don't know how I forgot that.
Hungary?
Yeah, the country.
Yeah. Hungary, yeah. 1956 uprising, I know about it. Go ahead.
So it was funny because I was really excited to go to Budapest. I had like heard about Budapest, and I was like, you know, that sounds like a cool place to go. And I fell asleep in the back of the truck, and the truck stops, and I woke up, and I'm like, are we in Budapest? And everybody's like, no, we were about 100 feet from the hotel before we got pulled over and escorted out of the city for having trucks in Budapest. I'm like, oh, can we like take a cabin? They're like, no, we have to keep going. I'm like, I totally like slept through Budapest. I was like so upset about that. We got to see some other cool cities along the way. Got to go float in the Dead Sea, which was really crazy. Got to see Petra, which was just amazingly phenomenal.
Do you want to know what Petra is? That hidden city in Jordan? Amazing. Go ahead.
Just had some amazing experiences along the way. We were able to, we're crossing the Sahara Desert, we actually picked up about a half a dozen hitchhikers that were just traveling Africa from all over the place, South Africa, Austria, Germany, Holland, and just like picked up a bunch of people for like a week, shared tents with them, like got to witness to them. Just a really great experience. Got to know some great people. Some of them actually came and stayed with us at our base months later on their travels back through. And it was just a really amazing, amazing trip.
So when you got there, I know because there's so much to share. Of course, you missed out the pyramids, mate. That must have been pretty impressive in Egypt.
The pyramids were really amazing. Got to ride camels around the pyramids, which is just like really cool.
But okay, so what's the scene there down in Zambia, right? There's that mission base that they built there on the Rapid 14 of the Zambezi River. And what's the object? What's happening there and how were you part of it?
From the base, well, we got to the base in December. From the base is typically where we launch all of our African missions from. Got to the base, spent a few weeks there actually before flying down to South Africa to pick up Vinny and one of the other trucks and drive them up Africa. We drove along the coast of Mozambique. We actually smuggled 4 tons of food into Zimbabwe in January.
Praise God.
I remember this was one of those experiences, like you're just sitting there, like driving a truck, like up the coast of Mozambique, like with 4 tons of food in the back, sleeping in the food and like the sweltering heat, like up against the ceiling in this truck, sleeping on the pile of food. And we just rotate drivers and drive like 3 days straight.
Who was here when Pastor Ephiel came to speak? Do you remember what he talked about, that the inflation in his country was at like 40,000%? There was no drinking water in the whole city. He's in the capital city, Harare, of Zimbabwe, and all of the water of that city is polluted. And they had to go to a Muslim so many miles away to get water from them. And we, this church, gave him the money to drill a well. So that pastor now has a well in his, and now he's the person that everybody comes to for water. And so I just want to let you know that you have sown seed into that impoverished country, that every time those people take a drink of water.
Amen.
Come on, guys.
So I arrived back to the base after doing about a few other trips. I arrived back to the base in February. I was there. I was the only non-African there from February on through March. And ended up finding out one day, they're like, oh, it looks like you're going to be the only one here for a while, so you mind just taking care of things? And I was like, well, yeah, it seems like a bit, but, you know. We had 15 employees, full-time staff, that are building, like, all of our stuff at the base. We have, you know, it was like handling the finances, shopping, cooking, and it's the rainy season. It was the worst rainy season Zambia's seen in decades.
Right.
70% crop failure, floods like you wouldn't believe on the road. Like, we live about 6 miles through the bush, and the roads literally turn to knee-deep mud, the actual roads that we have to the base.
Incredible.
Step out of the vehicle to your knees and, like, you know, great, here we go, digging again. On your way to church, it's like, show up to church, half muddy, learn to wear shorts and then just shower in the river on the way to church. It was really just a crazy experience. It started to get really old driving into town because we had to do it like every day, every other day. Our internet got wiped out by lightning, so we had no way of communication at the base for the entire first four months I was there.
I want you to understand here that how in the midst of serving God, you can really go through some stuff. And I don't think that if you're in the will of God, everything's real cool. Don't ever think that. Ask Paul, the apostle. One day he was having a revival, next day he was digging himself out a pile of rocks. So don't ever think, something's going wrong, I must have missed God. No, you could be in the perfect will of God and get shipwrecked. Okay? Just whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to achieve, just because the fight doesn't seem to be going your way, doesn't mean to say you're not doing the right thing. But you do need some help to discern what's going on. So don't be afraid to ask questions to those who've been down the path maybe a little bit before you. Go ahead, buddy.
So yeah, it was a bit of a trying time. I remember like the weeks I'd be like, okay, I got to get this done. I remember one week I was like, okay, this week I have it all set up that I'm going to have time to do this, that, and the other thing. And I got back to the base and realized two of the leaf springs had fallen out of the truck. Like, I don't even really know that was possible. And then I ran around for an entire week just trying to find two new leaf springs for a big Mercedes truck. There goes a whole other week fixing a truck. And I was just like, I didn't get to do any of that stuff. And it just seemed like there was that constantly for the first couple months I was there.
How old are you again?
Now 23.
How old? When was your birthday?
In March.
Okay, so that means you were doing all this as a 22-year-old. I'm just saying this, you're too young, you're not too old. Just tell me quickly about the Zanzibar thing. You mentioned that last night.
In Zanzibar, I was really excited to be able to co-lead a team to Zanzibar. It was a two-week team. Showed up, we flew there and then took a ferry and go there and meet the team. Kind of got like a view of what the team was going to be like beforehand, and we were looking through the team, and me and the leader were just like, it's going to be a bit crazy, don't you think? There was a young mother of two kids, a diabetic single father of three kids, another father of four kids, a girl who struggled with seizures, and like in your mind you're going through, okay, this is could be a bit of a crazy team, you know, if everything...
Can I just interject again? The whole purpose of this is whatever your health problems are, or your children, single parent with four kids and a diabetic, yet he still managed to get from England to Zanzibar, which is an island off a Muslim populated island off the coast of East Africa, Tanzania. You see what I'm saying? We've got so many excuses, so firmly, I would love to, but, and yet to me, everything this guy's experienced in the last year is eliminate all those excuses. Can we hear that clearly, do you think?
So yeah, the
talking about the roof. I love the roof story.
All right, retell the roof story. We got to Zanzibar just behind a team of 40 people. So we went to the pastor and said, listen, where do you need us? You know, you've had this team do a lot of ministry. What's best? You know, we'd still like to do some ministry as you see fit, but where can we best fit in? And he said, well, we've been building this church. We got the property 3 years ago. We built the walls almost a year ago now. And he's like, I've been waiting for the money to come in. We just finally have the money to do the roof. We need a carpenter, though. And I'm like, actually, you know, I'm a carpenter. He said, oh, perfect. You can handle it. And that was it. And I was like, that's all? Like, no plans, nothing. The walls were, I think one wall, I looked at it, I'm like, okay, that wall is a full block higher than this wall. The walls were like shook, and it was just a crazy structure. It was 25 feet wide by like 36 feet long, the church. And then we had the school also. And I'm like, okay, so now we have to build trusses on this ridiculous building with no electricity. No generator, no power tools at all. I was just like, okay, this could be a bit of a crazy feat. You go and buy lumber from like the lumber mill, and it's all different thicknesses, widths, lengths. It's completely varied. Like, you had to actually measure each board and pay by the foot, because you couldn't just buy, like, a bunch of lengths, because they're all different. I was like, okay, it's going to be really crazy. We got there. We didn't get the material for the church one afternoon until, like, 2 o'clock, and we needed to, like, finish the trusses, like, that day. I'm like, okay, you know, we have, like, 7 trusses to build. And the saw, we had a power saw and a generator that didn't work. So all of a sudden it's like, I'm like, how are we going to do this? This is crazy. And the pastor's like, oh, you got enough guys here. There's like 20 guys. Just handsaw it all. I'm like, that's going to take forever. He's like, no, you put like 3 guys on each handsaw. You just have them come in like saw like crazy till they get tired. The next guy comes in and they would seriously rotate like that.
It was only 3 saws.
Only 3 saws. And we were building a 25-foot long truss every 40 minutes.
Okay, stop right there.
As big as this church.
Let's stop right there. How many of us are not serving God because we don't think we got the right tools? Come on. And the rest of you, stop lying. You see what I'm saying? You got the. What have we got? Well, we got a rod. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. What do we got? Oh, we got 3 saws and a bunch of lumber that doesn't match and no plans. Can we do it? Evidently.
Yes, we can.
Did I say we? See, it's because Jesus was in it. By the way, he went to Zanzibar because, remember, we took an offering for Zambia before I went? And I took the money, and when I got down there, he needed to go to Zanzibar. So I just want to let you know, you sent him on this trip.
Thank you. It was also great because we went through some amazing ministry in the area. Full Muslim area. We ended up talking to this one guy, David, one day, and he seemed like he was really receptive in these. His Muslim buddies came in and started, like, interjecting and throwing in, like, these ridiculous arguments. They knew, like, 3 scriptures from the Bible, and they claimed they contradicted themselves, which is completely, I'm like, wait, how does that contradict? Like, it didn't make any sense. So we ended up pulling this guy, David, away from his friends, and he just, like, broke down and started crying. He's like, you know, I want to accept Jesus. That same day, one of the other teams that was out saw a couple of other amazing salvations, and they brought him back to the church where we'd congregate after the ministry, and these people were just, like, this woman was just slain on the floor. She was a prostitute, and she got radically saved, and she was just on the floor, face down in the church for, like, an hour. This man who got saved, he was sold beer in the village, and he was just weeping, and just, like, so thankful. So it was really just amazing to experience that. We got back to the base in Zambia. We run teams from there also, and this year we just really saw quite a few people that were just weren't sure what they could do if they came, and just blessed. This one woman who came last year, she's, I want to say, mid to upper 60s. She came last year with a team. It was a team of 40. The average age of the team was about 1/3 her age. And she just blended in amazingly. Like, you didn't even notice. I remember asking the leaders, like, how's Carol fitting in?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we don't even notice. She came back this year. She wanted to come back. She came back for a month, and she's a nurse, and went out into the villages, like, building up the clinics, and just did some amazing work while she was there. And, you know, said, she's like, I always wanted to come to Africa.
Met this lady. She was the most awesome, so 67 cool. years old, and her vision at last came to pass, and you could hear this song in her heart, man. It melted you every time she spoke. And the reason why we want to bring this to you today is I'm convinced with everything that's in me, God wants you to experience that in Him. That He has a purpose for your life. And when that song hits the inside of you and you begin to sing that, this is something that nobody else can put that song in your heart. It's something God gives you because He made you, He designed you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He has got something for you that nobody else can do, nobody else fits. And this is the whole point of this interview. For this young man to do this is great adventure. And just to close, we have to wrap up because of time. But the thing is I just want us to remember the outward focusness of this church. We didn't talk about Jonah and Beth Ortman going down there with their baby. Her sister went, his sister went. And Roger Field. If you don't know Roger Field, he's one of these quiet guys. Never say boo to anybody. He went down there and they built this second floor on the base in Zambia.
In record time. It was 2 weeks. All the Africans there, like, it had been underway for a year, this project. Hadn't moved at all in, like, the full year that it was supposed to be getting built. I remember I left in July of last year, and they're like, yeah, we're starting the project tomorrow. And I got back in December, and not a thing was done. I was like, what happened? And so everybody just, all the especially our foreman there, he just got to the point where he's like, yeah, it'll kind of never get done. And he came in, he was coming in every day like, oh my gosh, these people are amazing.
See, again, people went from this house. What I'm saying is, I want you to all understand there's a purpose that God has for us. It's not Zambia, it's not this. It's all of us fulfilling the dream of God, the kingdom of God, starting in Kingston, the God of this city, and realizing that as we go out and do these things, never done them before, building trusses you've never done before with no plans and three saws and all. You see what I'm saying? See what God can do. When God's in it, it can happen. Now, he went through a lot of hardships. I was down there with him this year, as you know, and he suffered a lot of pain. I want to tell you something. Serving God isn't always, you know, just, oh, this is so lovely. There is times you're challenged to sing that song. There's times there's a challenge to sing that song. But that's what God wants you to do. He wants to keep that song in your heart and never let it go, never let it die. And we're going to close because the guys are, I'm going to read this psalm to you again. And Joe, I don't know how to thank you, bro. There's so much more. You need to hang out with this guy, ask him all the questions. Don't laugh at his motorbike. He loves it.
I don't love it. It's just a possession.
It's just a possession. Thank you. Well said. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. And he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock. David, Daniel. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. And that's what we've seen today. Just a young man who made the Lord his trust. We've got the witness of a young man and an older man. And many of you have done this. And I want to encourage you, please, whatever your excuse is, let's eliminate it so you can have that song in your mouth. What we're going to do now is the guys are going to close us out in this song. I hope this morning something we've said has helped you with your defining your own life, defining your own vision, your own dream, and how God can help you. But this man did have to pay quite a lot of money. He had to pay his own airfare home. It's put him a little behind financially. All I'm saying to you is if you want to, just out of this, a love offering, sow something into this young man's life, please take your liberty. My wife and Lisa will be at the back doors there with bags as you exit. If you want to make out a check, you can make it out to the Vineyard, of course, and we'll give him everything that you guys bless him with. But I think the young man deserves to be honored. The Bible says don't lay hands on anyone too soon, but we are saying that this young man is just, and many of you, with the work that you're doing, like I say, whether you've been dedicated and committed to cleaning the church for a whole year, or dedicated and committed to serving God in Africa for a whole year, it's been a great blessing. And we can all do that because God really wants to see great things happen for us all. Can you say amen? So, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, and bless you. I want to bless you for Joe. I want to bless you for his stories. I want to bless you for every person in this room that has made their sacrifices and is willing to go the extra mile and to make their dreams happen. So, Father, we thank you that is these men who labor so hard to be excellent in their ministry of worship close us in this song. It's the prayer of our heart, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.